You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Laura, can you believe it? Even in the middle of a pandemic, we're still able to talk with each other. This is wonderful.
I know, and it's so good to talk to you. I said this before I got on, but like, I mean, I would just love to talk to you about like the weather, right? Like, you're just the most encouraging, like, it's all going to be okay person that Adam and I, my husband and I, know. So it's just great to hear your voice right now.
Well, good. Good.
Okay, so I'm going to kind of cut to the chase because I want to have as much time as possible for our topic today. I'm really excited about it. Actually, maybe because it was my idea.
Yes.
I asked you if we could do a bonus episode, but on how you're thinking about the COVID-19 pandemic. And I value your perspective on this because, I mean, I guess a couple of things. One, you've walked with God closely for a long time. And so I'm kind of interested in hearing like how you're thinking and walking through this. And also just because, like I said, you are just a really encouraging person, someone who really does live by faith. And so I think it'll be encouraging to talk to you. No pressure.
Yeah, that's right.
And even though none of us have been through a global pandemic anywhere, any of us, but you've experienced a number of really difficult seasons. So basically, I just want to ask you some questions to kind of hear what are you doing to anchor yourself right now?
Yeah. Well, what am I doing to anchor myself? You know, I've said at different times through life that it's good at different points in life for us to just sing a vibrant singing of He's got the whole world in His hands. And you know, He's got you and me, brother, in His hands. And I think that one of the things that helps me right now is just that I am as secure in Him as I've ever been. And what that means is I'm wholly secure. And that means that I don't know how it's all going to work out. And I don't know if I'll get the virus, if Janet, my wife, will get the virus. We're in the high-risk age group, you know, that either of us might die of the virus, you know. Don't know any of that, but I know I'm completely secure in Him and that His hand is upon me and He'll guide me through. And it's interesting, another thing that really balances me out right now, and this may sound unusual, but you know, I'm not sick with the virus. None of our family members, bless the Lord, are sick with the virus. And honestly, there's no one that I really know personally that's sick with the virus. And so one thing that balances me out is just to keep remembering those who are suffering, like those who are sick, those who have family members that are sick, those who are dying, those who have died. Because, you know, sometimes you can almost get sort of a, I don't know, kind of a happy, clappy, going first class on the Titanic kind of mentality of, well, everything's fine with me, and so life is good. But I think it really helps me to balance out. It's not really good for a lot of people, and it's going to get a lot worse and it's before it gets better. And I think that keeps me from being kind of lulled into, well, you know, I'm okay, and I just have a little more extra time, and really to realize this really is a tragic time. And yet, in the midst of it all, I am secure in Him. I'm well in Him.
Well, and okay, well, that brings a question to mind. I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next question on here, but I may tie it back depending on what you say. Yeah, because that's something actually Adam and I were talking about this morning, of just balancing, like seeing this as like an opportunity to, oh yeah, we should get these things done or whatever. But yeah, like also maybe God just wants us to like kind of sit in some of the weight of it at different times. Mm-hmm. So anyways, well, do you want to answer that now or should we come back to that if you don't get it?
And I'm sorry, answer what?
Well, I guess my question, how are you doing that? And then also, yeah, like how do you balance, okay, like I have this work before me today and we need to keep on, you know, this is probably going to be like a long-term thing that is, you know, like this weight. And so we need to keep taking the next step, you know, but then also this really is really serious and there really is a lot of suffering and like there are things for us to learn. I don't know, maybe like maybe this is just because I'm so much less mature than you, but I guess how do you live in the weight of that and then just keep trekking along?
Yeah, well, I think that having daily time in the Word and it not just being a monologue where you're doing all the talking, you're doing all the action, but where you're sitting with the Lord and crying out to God and asking Him to speak to you from His Word. I think that there's nothing that balances us more than, as the prophet would say, I think in Jeremiah, to stand in the counsel of the Lord and to just stand there and to hear His counsel from, you know, the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that just stabilizes me. Like this morning I was reading in my quiet time 1 Thessalonians 5, and it's talking about the return of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, we think we're living kind of in a cataclysmic kind of moment now. Just imagine what the return of Christ will be like.
Mm-hmm.
And that in some ways, you know, getting through the pandemic is you know, like a major momentous event, but it's nothing compared to when Christ returns. And mm-hmm. in some ways it puts the whole thing in perspective. And yet it also helps me to remember that even in the midst of the pandemic, it's so important for people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because some won't live through this time.
Yeah.
And even if they do, they need to be prepared for when the Lord returns or when they do die eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the scripture is just the meta narrative that helps even kind of huge cataclysmic life events us know how to take them and how
to understand
them.
I'm sorry, can you remind me what a meta narrative is?
A meta narrative, well, asking John to speak on meta narrative is highly dicey, but it's basically the overarching story.
Okay.
It's the overarching story that everything else is kind of wrapped up under or swept into.
And you said the Bible is the meta narrative of what's happening right now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The Bible is the overarching story.
Okay.
And so it's so helpful to have that to then kind of re-enter our current crisis and in a sense be thinking about how does this fit in with what God's doing? How does mm-hmm. this fit in with the whole story and not become in a sense for us the whole story? I think that's one of the real challenges with, you know, just being addicted to the news releases and to just endless online discussions about this crisis.
Uh-huh.
Is in some ways it becomes the meta narrative. It becomes
yeah.
the overarching story. And as significant as it is, and as much as we do need to be attendant to it, it's not the overarching story.
Huh. Yeah. Well, and that kind of leads straight into the next thing I wanted to ask you about. So you're saying, I mean, like underneath everything, like the thing that keeps you anchored is your time in God's Word.
Yeah.
And you kind of said this already, but yeah, like every day there's this steady influx of bad news as often as, you know, you refresh your phone or talk to someone. So I guess what throughout the day, so you have your quiet time and then, mm-hmm. you know, your day starts. What things are helping you to keep God's voice loudest in your mind and heart throughout the day?
Well, let me think about that. I think what, you know, technically the correct answer is the Holy Spirit does that.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's the Holy Spirit inside of me that throughout the day is going to be drawing me to believe in Him, to believe in God and in what God has said. And so what that means is I need to kind of walk in line with the Spirit.
Yeah.
And as I go through the day, not just be sucked into, you know, the tyranny of the urgent or the tyranny of the crisis, but to be prayerful, to be thoughtful, to remember, you know, what He said to me earlier in the day from His Word. And also to remember how does He want, if this COVID is not the meta-narrative, if God's Word and God's plan is, then how does that shape how I live in this moment? Uh-huh. You know, Francis Schaeffer's famous book, How Should We Then Live?
Uh-huh.
And it's the whole idea of, okay, granted the truth of the reality of God and all He's accomplishing, how do I live in this moment? And and that guides me through it. Where I lose it is if I just get sucked into the urgency or sucked into the uncertainty or the, you know, the unsettledness of transition and loss and those kind of things. That's when I lose it.
Yeah.
And I just get swept away into things and become generally ineffective and unhelpful to others, but also in terms of my walk with the Lord, just kind of forgetting what I know to be true in those moments.
Well, and so you kind of mentioned again, like going back to scripture throughout the day. Do you have some go-to verses that you're going through?
Yes. Well, two of my all-time go-to verses.
Wait, let me, can I guess, is it one of them Isaiah 41:10?
Yes. Yes. You know, it's kind of like if you, all you have a hammer is the whole world's a nail. I think if, I feel like these two verses are so much like a hammer to me that it's like it, you know, somebody could tell me they just had their tooth pulled and somehow this verse would be relevant. But the two passages are just mighty, mighty, mighty promises from God to us. The first one is Deuteronomy 31:8, and it says, "And it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." And then Isaiah 41:10, as you mentioned, is like it. It says, "Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Those are just astounding, like jaw-dropping promises that God makes to us. And we really can live in those. And that doesn't say, do not fear because it's all going to work out the way you want it to.
Yeah.
It basically says, don't fear because I'm your God and here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to strengthen. I'm going to help you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to go before you. Yeah. I will not fail you or forsake you. And that's what we're called to believe and that's what we're called to act out, to live out, even in the midst of COVID-19.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Well, okay, so what are some of the truths, I guess, like those verses, like you said, those aren't promises that bad things aren't going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and whether that's, I mean, death, which is kind of worst case scenario, or like loss of a job, or, you know, I mean, just so many people have so many really difficult things happening.
Yeah.
So I guess, like, what makes that such good news that God is with it? Like, why, even if, is that still such good news? I guess, what are some of the truths about God that you're reminding yourself of?
Well, that He is the Lord God Almighty. He is the sovereign of the universe. And that this isn't something that slipped through His fingers against His will. This isn't something that He was asleep and somehow evil forces or Satan slipped in.
Yeah.
That even in a horrible pandemic, which is really a reflection of the kind of brokenness that came into the world when Adam and Eve sinned, but even in the context of that brokenness, God is accomplishing his purposes, and we can be completely sure of that. And so if that's my basis, that the, you know, kind and sovereign God is affecting his purposes in the midst of a broken world, then it causes me to think, okay, back to, again, the title of Schaeffer's book, How Should I Then Live? And and the thing that's really guiding me in that, we did a podcast a month or two ago on what we called Five Mindsets for God-Honoring Leaders. And those mindsets are so wonderfully and helpfully relevant in the midst of this crisis. You know, the five mindsets, again, were the glory and honor of God in all things, and then humility, wisdom, intentionality, and resilience. And so let me just, you know, talk about those. If I'm thinking about how do I live, and how would God want me to live in this day, in this moment, in this crisis? Well, the first thing is, he wants me to live for his glory and honor. That however I conduct my business or lack of business today, however I lead in my marriage and family, however I have influence in the community or church, even if it's over a web meeting, whatever I do today, it's to be to his glory and honor. So it's not just about my survival. It's not just about managing my fears. It is about his glory and honor. And you know, Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he rewards those who seek him. So one of the things that tells me is, if I'm going to live for God's honor and glory today, then I'm going to have to believe that what his word says is true, even in the midst of this crisis. Because as I believe him, that both brings honor and glory to him, and it's in that belief that he shows me his glory by showing me his faithfulness in the context. You remember Mary and Martha when Lazarus has died and Jesus finally gets there, and they're like, you know, if you'd only gotten here sooner, he wouldn't have died. And one of the things Jesus says before he raises Lazarus is he looks at them and says, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And as they believed, then they saw the glory of God. So the first thing that guides me through the day is, okay, this still, even in the crisis, my life is to be lived for his glory and honor. The second thing is humility.
Wait, can I interrupt you for just a second? Well, please. And one thing that's encouraging about what you're saying is, Dad, like, I know I've heard you say, and I mean, as your kid there for some of it, but like, I know the way you've learned to trust God's faithfulness is through suffering, right? Like, that's how God has grown you to know him that way.
Yes, and that almost sounds counterintuitive. Like, it'd almost be that suffering would drive us away from the Lord. And we can certainly understand how that can happen. But, you know, if I think it was maybe C.S. Lewis said that God screams to us through our pain. And he uses pain in our lives in remarkable ways. I've said through the years that the most important lessons in life tend to need to be learned experientially, and they almost always involve pain. But that's kind of another topic. But the glory of God, trusting in his, or living for his honor and glory no matter how the pain hits us. And again, you know, we go to Job where he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him.
Yeah. You know,
what an amazing statement of faith. But anyhow, the glory and honor of God. And then we move to humility. And remember, we talk about humility being not so much talking about how sinful I am or kind of picking ourselves apart because of our sins. But humility is really a metric of our dependence upon God for everything. And so, if I'm going to be a humble person, what that means is I'm going to be, you know, ongoingly, regularly, unceasingly going to God for my needs, going to God, admitting to him my needs. And it's like, what a perfect context for that to happen in a pandemic where, you know, for those of us who aren't sick, we do have all the things of where are we going to find food and what do we do with our kids and all that kind of stuff. And instead of just trying to figure that out, just going to the Lord and saying, God, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know where to find these things for my family. I don't know what to do with my kids during the day. I, you know, help me. Mm-hmm. So living out humility is like a perfect reminder in this.
Yeah.
And for those who are business leaders, God, I've never done this before in a business context.
Right.
I don't know if my company is going to get through. God, help me. Help me to see.
Yeah.
And then, you know, from humility, wisdom of, again, I've never done this before. Mm-hmm. No one I know has ever done this before.
Right.
And we need wisdom. Mm-hmm. And we need wisdom, not just our collective assumptions.
Yeah.
But we really need God's guidance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God, guide me as to know how to best lead my family right now.
Mm-hmm.
God, guide me. Remind me of what you say in your word about how to minister to people, even if I can't be with them.
Yeah.
You know, really needing God's wisdom. And then that moves to intentionality, to where mm-hmm. as we are living for God's glory and honor in all things, as we're learning to run to Him, admitting our needs, as we're looking to Him and His word for wisdom, then that sets us up to live an intentional life. And it is going to be a different life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this context, we're all having to learn how to live differently.
Yeah.
But there can still be an intentionality of our days
mm-hmm.
as they're informed by, again, a mindset around the honor and glory of God and everything, humility and wisdom.
Yeah.
That guides us as to, okay, how do I then live out this day intentionally?
Yeah.
I may not feel like I know exactly how to do it.
Uh-huh.
I may have not ever done it before.
Yeah.
But God can help me to learn intentionality even in new routines and even in new structures.
Yeah.
And then the last one is resilience, meaning all of us are going to need to learn in this context, in this crisis, the ability to get back up by faith.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, no matter how hard it has been for us, or once it's over, how lost we may be in terms of kind of re-engaging normal life.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to need to be some resilience, but what we're not talking about here is some kind of bootstrap stoic mentality.
Yeah.
What we're talking about here is a resilience that's born out of the glory and honor of God in all things, humility, wisdom, intentionality, and then resilience to, by grace, trust Him for the strength to get back up
mm-hmm.
and to believe Him and to move forward. So, you know, to your question in terms of what guides me, those five mindsets have been great guides in helping me to think through how to live out the day
mm-hmm.
in a good way. Yeah.
Yeah, those are really good. And it's really interesting because it seems like the basis for all of them goes back to the first thing you said, is like, the reason we can be resilient is because we know who God is, and like, we know we can trust Him and depend on Him. And like, yeah, like the way to persevere is through humility, because we know that we are weak and God is strong. Like, it just seems like over and over you're saying it's just anchoring ourselves in who God is regardless of our circumstances.
Yes, yes, exactly. I think that having a God-centered view of each day, so we don't start out with ourselves, we don't start out with our crisis, we don't start out with the news, but we start out with who is God. And what is He up to? What is He doing?
Mm-hmm.
Then that guides us in terms of the rest of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good, Dad. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and jump down and ask you, this is also good. Do you have, like, what advice do you have for parents who have kids at home? Like, I guess, I mean...
Yes.
Not activities, although if you have activities, that's great too. But like, I guess, what are the most important things that we should be conveying to them? Or what, I mean, just, I guess, anything. But
anything. Yeah,
what are your, yeah, like, what is your advice?
Yeah, I heard a joke the other day about someone asked a man, if you could choose to live one, if you could choose one to go through this pandemic in your house with your wife and kids, or, and the guy immediately says two, meaning the whole idea of being locked up in a house with his wife and kids was unsettling to him. So I think that, you know, back to the parents, I think that parents with who have kids at home, what we just said about the five mindsets are very relevant for knowing how to parent and to guide and to even kind of homeschool your kids, whether they're public school with assignments at home or you're actually homeschooling them. The five mindsets will definitely be a real guide for you in it. I think that, you know, my dear mother, one of her things that I heard her say, I don't know, hundreds of times through the years, was this too shall pass. And I think just the idea that this won't last forever, that all I really need to do is to get through today, and that God will guide me. I think a lot of it is perspective, because I think your perspective is what keeps you from either being proactive or reactive. And if your perspective is very limited, if it's kind of focused in on yourself and your frustration, then you tend to manage your children more reactively. Yeah, I think if your perspective is more of a very hopeful one in the Lord, then it helps you to be a little more proactive. And I think it's good to just, you know, depending upon age appropriateness, to talk with your kids about, you know, none of us know how to do this well. Yeah. None of us have ever done this before. And each day we're going to learn, and some days are going to be better than others. But we are going to get through this, and we're going to get through it as a family, and we'll have some great stories and some great lessons on the other side. So I think perspective is a huge thing. One other perspective piece is for those listening who, you know, have a healthy family who's at home, one thing that can give you perspective is for those who don't. Have children or parents or aging parents who are dying of the disease or very sick with the disease, or, you know, for healthcare workers and just all that they're going through and sacrificing for us, and first responders as well. I think that realizing the blessing I have of having an intact family with everyone well, and figuring that out, is so much better than it could have been.
Yeah, that's really good, Dad.
And then, you know, helping your kids to learn with you, how do we serve others in the midst of, you know, mandatory stay at home? Like, how do we still be inclusive to others, to where there's a mindset of still being able to give and to somehow be there for other people and not just for yourselves? So,
And do you have any, like, are there families that you know of, like, oh, yeah, this is something that I've seen people doing, or do you have any thoughts on that? It's fine if you don't. I'm just curious.
Yeah, well, I've heard of some families that have had, like, a Zoom birthday party, you know, where there's, you know, kids around the Zoom screen, and they're celebrating someone's birthday, and, you know, I guess there's just all kinds of manifestations by which you can use web-based video conferencing.
Yeah.
You know, what's really interesting to think about is, especially for young children or children who can write, is teaching them how to write a letter and send a letter to someone.
Yeah.
Because in this generation, it's only going to be a pandemic that will teach our children how to write letters. You know, no one does that anymore.
Right.
But to write a letter to a grandparent or a, you know, a, someone in your church that maybe doesn't have much attention given to them, or someone in your community that doesn't have much attention, and teaching your children, you know, how to write, you know, a brief, you know, logical kind of letter would be just such a good thing, I think. And, you know, if you run out of complete things to do, then you can always sing a rousing chorus of Megalina, Pegalina, Rubus, Dinarina, Pina, which is what I would always do.
We'll have to put the lyrics in the show notes.
Yes. We would always sing, when I was driving carpool when Laura was young, I would always sing this ridiculous song I learned at camp, and somehow she and her friends endured it. So that's a fail-safe for you.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. Do a YouTube link to you.
That's to right. You. Yes.
That's hilarious. Okay, well, so... yeah, all of that is really helpful. And so I was thinking, I mean, it sounds like one of the big things you're saying is, one, having a thankful heart of, like, recognizing, even if this is really throwing off our schedule or whatever, you know, the inconveniences, like, recognizing what a gift it is to have kids, what a gift it is that everyone's healthy. So having a thankful heart for the things that are. And then as far as, like, what we're conveying to them, it sounds like a few of the things you were saying is just kind of like these mindsets of, like, dependence and trust in God, humility, like the thing you were saying about being honest with your kids that you don't exactly know what you're doing. So that's like humility of, like, I need God's help too, and we're all figuring this out together. Resilience and just kind of getting back up and modeling for your kids how to get back up. I'm sorry, I'm momentarily, but oh, intentionality, that's one of the other ones, right?
Intentionality and wisdom,
So just like seeking to be intentional in the time that we have with our kids. So
and
I guess
figuring out what does that look like in this now?
Yeah.
Like in today's now, what does intentionality look like now?
Yeah. So like if we were your kids at home, like if Gary and Will and I were still at home, like what is one thing you would want to make sure that we were hearing from you in this? Like, and maybe I'm just being repetitive, but like, is there a verse that you, like, I would memorize this one verse, or this is one thing I would want them to understand about God's character, or is there anything like that?
Gosh, I've not thought of that, but, you know, I think the thing that comes to mind, Laura, is, as much as possible, I would want the children to see me trusting God through this.
Yeah.
To where it's not so much what am I wanting to teach them.
Yeah.
As much as it is how do I want to model for them what it looks like for a believer in Christ to trust him through a situation like this. You know, and it not be anything close to perfect.
Sure.
So I really think that's one of the most important things. But then, you know, a really quick, short verse that could be learned, it's in Psalms, I can't remember the reference, but it says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all.
Yeah.
And just to convey that to the kids, that even in the midst of a crisis like this, God's throne is still established in the heavens.
Yeah.
And his sovereignty overrules everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that's good. That's really good, Dad. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, any final thoughts to wrap us up?
I say no and then it's yes. I do just want to say to any of our listeners who are going through a sorrowful time, like who are sick themselves or have family members or dear friends that are sick or maybe are dying or dead, you know, our heart goes out to you. And I just know that those verses, Deuteronomy 31:8 and Isaiah 41:10, are surety for you, even in the midst of your sorrow or your pain or your whatever.
Yeah.
And so just want to say that to our listeners. And then just, you know, a reminder from Leadership Edge, the core vision of Leadership Edge is our personal vision statement, which is by God's grace to step forward as God's man or woman and my spheres of influence to serve his purposes for his glory. And now is a great time to be living out that verse. And we have to adjust it. It's a little bit different in terms of stepping forward into my spheres of influence. What does that look like?
Yeah.
But the purpose is the same. And then lastly, we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization and are always looking for funding. And so any listeners who would like to make a donation to Leadership Edge, you can go to our website, www.lead-edge.com, and top of the page you'll see a donate button. But I think most importantly, just lean into the Lord. That is what I would encourage our listeners to do.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks, Dad. Well, I think my big takeaway, I mean, I am recording in my bedroom and the kids are in the living room. So I think for me, it's just like this has encouraged me to, when I get off, just go out and, I mean, be praying and asking God to help me to have a thankful heart and to see everything that is so good and how, yeah, just all the ways God's at work in good ways right now in my life, and then also just to help me to trust him and rely on him. So thanks, Dad. This was encouraging to me, and I think it will be to listeners as well. Thanks.
You bet. Thank you, Laura.
Okay. Thanks, listeners, for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Okay, I stopped the recording.